Okay, welcome everyone. We are studying Pali. Today we're on page 40, what is now page 40, although that's going to change potentially when as the book is edited. We're starting with numbers, Sankhya. So there are two kinds of numbers. We have ordinary numbers and cardinal numbers. That's wrong. Purana is what it should be, not Bharana. Okay, so these are worth memorizing if you have the time. They're certainly worth knowing, because you come across them quite often. They're very, you know, when you want to talk about how many of something, you have to know, especially with all these lists, four of this, three of that. It's good to know the numbers. Eka dviti chattu pancha cha satta atta navadasa ekadasa dvadasa telasa chudasa Parnarasa, Solasa. Satarasa, Atadasa, Ikunavisati. There's a lot more details you have to know. Some of the, like you have visati for 20. 21 is eka visati. 22, so that's normal. But 22 is, just a second. Dve visati, I think, just a second. Right, it's dva visati or bhavisati. Bhavisati, you actually see with a b long a, bhavisati means 22. 21 is ekavisati. So just mean to say that there are some irregularities. Usually it's like the ones, the twos, and the threes. So 21 is normal, 22 is irregular, dvavisati or bhavisati. 23 is irregular, devisati. And 32 is dvatingsa or batingsa. 33 is detingsa. Kind of thing. The rest are mostly normal. He put the lower number first. So 21 is ekavisati, 1 and 20. If you want to say 24, it's 420, chatuvisati. 26 is also abnormal, chabisati.
Bhante, I'm just noticing down at the bottom of the page, the numbers have genders? That seems so complicated.
Yeah, we'll get to that. First, let's just look at these numbers. If you look, the another important point is how you say 19. And it's not just 19. The only exception to this rule is 9. You see, 9 is nava. But you don't say nava dingsati or nava visati, which would be 29 or 39. You say eka una visati. Una means less than. Visati is 20. So ekuna visati means one less than 20. 29 is ekuna tingsa, which means one less than 30. So that's something to note, that the one less than is just an oddity of Pali. Similar, I guess, to the Roman system, but yeah, this is how Pali works. Okay, the rules about gender and number, probably not that important for a beginner Pali student. I think it's something we don't have to pay much attention to, but one is always singular. So when you're conjugating these things, if you were to work on conjugating them, this is how it works. One is ekavachana, is singular. 2 to 18 are plural. 19 and up are ekavachana, right? So, no, I think 99 and up are plural. I can't remember. Satani. I think once you get up higher. Yeah, it's plural. They're all plural. So that's wrong, I'm pretty sure. Although there's something in my mind I can't quite remember. They may also be able to be regular, singular, but let's put them as plural. 99 and up should be plural. Or no, I think they are singular. Right, 99 and up become nouns. So when you talk about 100, satta, if it's 100, then it's satang. If it's 200, then it's a satani, right? So that's how it goes. Is that clear? So that's what you'd expect from numbers. It's just that 1 to 99 are weird. They are 19 to 98 are considered ekavachana, another singular. And then as to genders, you can see 1 to 18 are based on the noun that they modify. So if it's a man, it's eko. If it's a woman, it's eka. And there are specific conjugations. They are irregular. So the conjugations of these is not exactly the conjugations of the nouns. I don't know that I have that in here. Let's see. Right, okay, we have declensions here. Eko, ekang, eka. Right. For two, the declensions are the same for all three. Genders. Ti, you have three different ones. Chattu, again, three different. 5 to 18 are all according to pancha. So 5 to 18 are the same as pancha. Pancha, pancha, hi, panchanang, and they're plural. So now, why don't we have the declension for 20? Let me see. Okay, so 18 to 98 follow the declension of 19, which would be ekonomicity. I'm just going to type it out now. Okay, this works for most of them, but it's a bit, this isn't that important that you know this, but just for information, ikuna wisang is for the form wisa, which means 20, but if you have wisati ending in I, it isn't obviously conjugated as this one. It's conjugated according to the E in itilinga, in feminine, the regular E form. So ekunawisati, if you use that form, which is actually more common, it's just considered an E ending feminine noun. So it's declined the same as rati. Anyway, this isn't all that important, but good that you have a sense of the shape that these nouns take, so you can figure out which they belong to. But as you can see, they're fairly similar to, they're almost exactly as their ordinary noun counterparts. Much more important is knowing the difference between the numbers. This is a vocabulary you should have memorized. 1 to 19 at least, or 1 to 19 and then 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90. You should know what all those are. Useful. And then you have what is called Purana. Again, he's got the wrong spelling here. So Purana Sankhya is cardinal numbers. And the Purana means full. So the meaning is I can't remember why they exactly use the word full. Anyway, it means first, second, third. fourth, fifth, sixth. Patthananda is first, dutiya second, tatiya third, chatutha, panchama. And there are irregularities to this, like chatutha can also be chatuti in feminine, I think. So they do change. And chatta can be chati as well. And then they're declined. These ones are declined according to their gender. So you have patamo, patama, patamang for the three genders. Masculine is patamo and so on. Feminine is, they go according to the ordinary noun paradigms. Okay, so, and I don't think there's much more to be said there. Numbers are just a small thing that we have to know about, and you should remember. The only really important thing we have to worry about left is verbs. That's, I think, all we've got in this textbook. After verbs, there are two other things that are useful to learn about. But not terribly important, because they should be in the dictionary. So the thing that we're not going to, that isn't in this textbook, is derivations. So if you have a given noun, often the noun is based on a root. You take a verbal root and you turn it into a noun. You also take a verbal root and turn it into a participle, which is considered a verb, but not exactly a verb. We would still call them nouns, I think. Well, participles, past participles, like gone. The word gone, or left, or made, you know, these kind of things. Or making. Like while I was walking. You know, the word walking is a participle, a present participle. But those should mostly be in any good dictionary, because they're words in and of themselves, and they're not that important. But we do have to learn about verbs. So next week we will start on verbs. For the rest of this week, the idea, I think, is we'll go back to translating the Dhammapada. Okay, we're at part one, page 3, on the final paragraph of the Pali, which starts Tasming Samaye. Okay, anybody know how we start this first sentence? Tasming samaye. Sorry, it's only one sentence, one big long sentence. How do we start it off?
Would you go to the end even at a long sentence like this, or?
No, you wouldn't. It would go to the first verb that can close a section. And the verb that closes the section here is the first one, is anupubena, no, is agantwa, actually. Anupubena is one word, and it's because of sandhi, it's been coalesced with the verb agantwa. But before we do that, we find the subject. First thing you do in a sentence is find the subject. You can also pull out, as I said, you can pull out words that relate to time or place, but you don't have to. You can also put time and place at the end. It depends how you translate it, but pull them out just the same. Tasming samaye is something relating to time. It's in 7-1. Tasming is 7-1 of ta. Samaye is 7-1 of samaya. So what does that mean?
At that time.
Sorry?
At that time.
Yes, it means at, as in seven. The seven form is at. Da means that. So tasming means at that. Samaye means at the time. So at that time, they put them together. Tasming is a modifier of samaya. Which samaya? Tasming samaya. That samaya. So tasming samaye means at that time. Take that out. That's not going to be grammatically related to the rest of the sentence. It's to do with time. Let's find the subject. The subject here is satta. Satta is an irregular form. It's an irregular noun. It's one of the irregulars that we didn't go through. I think they're in the textbook, aren't they? But the paradigms may not be in the textbook. I'm not sure. Probably should put them there. Anyway, they're irregulars. Trying to get around to putting them in the textbook if they're not there. But satta is one form of sattu, I think. Yeah, we call it sattu. One is satta. Satta means, anyone know?
I recognize that from the nine virtues of the Buddha, satta deva manussana.
Yes, sir. Satta means teacher.
Yeah.
I think in Sanskrit or Sinhala you say sastra or something.
We say shastru.
Right, shastru, yeah. So the Pali is simplified to sattu.
I see.
It's the texts or the Thai grammar course calls it, says it's only used to refer to the Buddha, but that's not actually true. It's used to refer to any sort of religious leader. There are religious leaders that are not the Buddha, and they are called sattas, sattu. So the Buddha is the religious leader of Buddhism. He is our satta. So you'll see he's when he's referred to by commentators, they'll just refer to him as the satta. So what this is saying, if you want to translate it, is the teacher. And then you have the next word. What form is that word? The next word is could in fact be considered as ending the section. So we have the teacher, and then you have a verb that is assumed. I think this is where you would put hoti. So in Thai, they would force you to put in the verb. I can't remember how, because the Thai is very rigid translation rules. So you would say the teacher was, and then you'd say one who, but what ditta varadama chakka refers to the Buddha. This is a compound words are often made up of things, not just compounds. There are words in Pali that contains a thing. And the meaning is someone who has that thing. Or someone, in this case, someone by whom something is done. Something is done to something. So you have this thing, and someone has done something to it. So that this is how you explain this compound. Chakko is actually wrong, because chakka is neuter. It should be chakang. Chakang means wheel. Chakko means one who has a wheel. Right, so you take the word chakka and you add an invisible ending that turns it into the masculine. And then you get the declension chakko means first it's one form of chakka, one who has a wheel. In this case, it's not exactly one who has. Let's look at this. We have dhamma chakko. Actually, we have vara dhamma chakko. If you look at vara dhamma chakko, vara means special or noble or holy or exalted. Dhamma is the dhamma. So the dhamma chakka is the dhamma wheel. So vara is just praising it. It's saying the exalted dhamma wheel. And then you have pavatita. Pavatita means turned. This is one of those participles I was talking about. You take the verb pavatati. Pavatati means to go on or to be in motion. Pavatita means made to be in motion, caused to be in motion, something that is put in motion. Pavatita means put in motion. So literally this word means one who has the vara dhamma wheel, the exalted dhamma wheel that was put in motion. But you would translate it as one by whom the vara dhamma chakka, the exalted dhamma wheel, was put in motion. Okay? Obviously, it might be like shaking your head, how am I ever going to figure that out? Don't worry, you don't have to figure that out now. What's important here is that you understand what I'm saying. I hope you do. Some of you do anyway. How is it? Pavatita means put in motion. Vara dhamma chakka is the exalted dhamma wheel. You have the O on the end, which shows us that it has been modified because chakka should have been chakang. But you have chakko, which means this refers to a person who has the Dhamma Chakka. So it's got an invisible ending on there. And the ending has changed the declension to masculine because Satta is masculine. So this is an adjective that describes Satta. And this kind of sentence is awkward because we don't do it this way in English. We don't put adjectives describing things that people have done. But this means the teacher, one by whom the teacher by whom the exalted Dhamma wheel was turned. What it really means is the teacher having turned the Dhamma wheel. But this is how they say it in Pali, makes it very difficult for us English speakers not to understand, but to translate at any rate. It should be fairly easy to understand. The teacher, and then the second word, the next word is that he turned the dhamma, saying that he turned the dhamma wheel. Not easy to translate for new translators. If you look at that, you might have a hard time. You will most likely have a hard time. Okay, so this is the first thing he did. It's talking about after he. So he was someone who had already turned the dhamma chakka. So this is in the time after he had turned the set in motion the wheel of Dhamma, which means he taught the Dhamma. Okay, that's the first part. The second part, anupubena agantwa, two words put together by sandhi. The second word starts with a long A. The first word ends with a short A. The short A is dropped, or short A plus long A equals long A. You can't get a super long A, you just got long A. So you end up with anupubena gantva. Agantwa is one of those words that we've talked about, the dwa ending. Dwa means having, or we translate it loosely as having. Agantwa, the a on the front, is one of these prefixes that we learned about above. A in this case, in most cases, reverses the meaning. So gantwa means having gone. Agantwa means having come. So you know the verb gachati, we say gachami, I go. So agachami means I come. Agachati means he, she, it comes. So agantwa means comes. It's in this specific instance, he could have used comes or goes, because he's talking about going to Jetavana, going to Jetavana. You say gamanagamana, right?
Yes, Mante, agamana.
But you agamana. Say, don't you say both gamanagamana?
Yeah, that is different, Mante. This is specifically referring to the immigration department. They say agamana department.
But what do you say? You say gamanagamana, don't you say both of them sometimes?
Yes, Mante. That refers to both going and coming.
Right.
Or okay. Just transportation.
That's the transportation ministry, gamanagamana.
Yeah, gamanagamana.
So that's a good example because that's direct Pali. Gamanagamana is sandhi. They've been put together. Gamana means this is a derivation. You put mana, or no, you put na on the end, and it turns it into a noun. So gamana means, and the root is gam, which means in regards to going, and the na on the end turns it into a noun. Gamana means literally the noun going. Agamana means coming. So gamanagamana, when you put the a on the front, it reverses the meaning.
We also have another word, vigamana.
Vi is another prefix that changes the meaning.
So then the ending, the long A, that's the 5-1 declension, and it means from, but because it has the A on the beginning, it means not from, but the opposite of from?
No, it's the A on the beginning we're talking about. Agantwa. The twa on the ending is a suffix that means having. That's TV long A is one suffix.
Okay, that's what's hard to tell sometimes. When we're looking at the endings and trying to match them up with the declensions, what part constitutes the ending? I would look at that and think it was just the A, but...
Except Dwa is iconic. You won't ever see T and V together, hardly anywhere. But when you see the ending Dwa, you recognize right away it's very special.
Okay,
there will be no noun that ends in Dwa.
Okay, thank you, Bhante.
The only other place I think that I can think of where you find T and V together is in the word Dvang, which means you. I can't think of, there probably are, but I can't think of other places. Very, very rare. But dwa, definitely on the ending, there's only one place you find that I know of. There's no noun that ends in dwa. Be conjugated as dwa. There's nothing like that. So yeah, in many cases it's going to be difficult. But that's why we had to study the indeclinables, so you can recognize them. Because for the most part, you will look at it and it will be some sort of conjugation, either nominal conjugation or verbal conjugation. There's only two kinds of conjugations, but that's why we have to study the third kind. And actually, best is to memorize them so you can recognize them. Like pi on the end of everything. If you see pi on the end, you have to recognize that could be the participle pi, which is just emphatic. Or has certain special meanings. So definitely, you have to remember dua. It's very common. You're going to see it again in this sentence. And you just have to remember that that's a verbal, what do you call, participle. That means having, in this case, having come. Anupubena, anupuba means, it's an interesting word. Anu means following, puba means the previous. So anupuba means following the previous. The meaning is stage after stage, step by step. We translate it loosely as gradually. By stages, because the ana on the end. Ana is 3-1, so anupubena is 3-1, even though it's hard to see here. If you pull them apart, you get anupubena, which means by stages. And anupuba is a stage. Following the previous, literally. That means one step after another. So it means he went gradually. He didn't immediately go, but he would have to go day by day, stopping and resting at various places because he walked everywhere. Okay, unfortunately, we have another very, very, very difficult section here. Oh, it's at least fairly difficult. So let's go tread carefully. Okay. If it sounds like I'm listening to music, it's some concert going on outside that's been going for the whole weekend. They're playing all sorts of tropical music. Okay, we're going to take it this way. We've got two sections left in this sentence. Let's look at it. This is the first section. You can see I've ended on the verb viharati. I've skipped past that visajetva, even though you would think, oh, well, there's a tva, shouldn't we stop there and worry about it? No, we shouldn't, and I'll show you why, because that visajetva is within some phrase. This is what makes this part difficult, but okay, trust me on this, we put all of this together. And then, the second part, all that's after that, mahajanang, etc., etc., etc. And we have patitapyamano. Patitapyamano, the O on the end, should clue you into the fact that it is actually a adjective describing the Buddha. It's still referring back to Satta. Shouldn't be there. But in an ordinary sentence, you don't have that after the verb because we've already got viharati, which should end the sentence. Sentences usually end with a verb like viharati. But you know, there's actually more exceptions than there are following of the rules, so shouldn't surprise us that we have this exception. And that whole section is just going to be, it's talking about what the Buddha was doing. So he viharati means he dwelt, and patitapya mano, mana on the end is the ing. It's a present participle. Patitapya mano means causing people to be established. I'll explain that when we get to it, but this is what he was doing. So it's patitapyamano is referring to the Buddha. The Buddha was causing people to become established in the path to heaven and the path to freedom. But let's deal with the part in blue here first. Anatta pindikena mahasetina chatupanasa koti danang visajetva karite cetavana mahavihare. We're going to have to work backwards here to understand this. I'm trying to think of how you can get a clue here. It's difficult because you don't see many sentences like this, or it's a specific example. Visajetva is paired with karite. Let's look at that first. Visajitva means having given up or having donated. Having given up is probably the best translation. Karite means made. Karite means made or caused to be made. So something was made having given up. Means we have a person who made something having given up. That's why Visajitva isn't the Buddha. It isn't the Buddha who gave up. We're talking about something that was made by someone who gave something up. So having given up was made. Visajitva here is therefore inside the part of the sentence that's referring to the making of something. Okay? That's why we can't go there. It's not ours. It's not in this progression of finding the next verb. It's within the karite. The only way you can really know that is with a little bit of translating. A good way to figure this kind of thing out is to translate each word individually, forgetting about the declensions and so on. So anatapindakena, find out what the original word was and what it meant. Write them all down and then try to figure out what it could be talking about. Then look at the grammar and see if the grammar helps that make sense. So here we have anatapindika, the mahasi. Anatapindika is his name, right? The Mahaseti, the great millionaire or rich man. Chatupanasa koti dhanang is dhana. Dhana means wealth. Chatupanasa koti, this is the numbers that we were just talking about today. Koti is a large, large number, either meaning
100,000. Yeah.
It could also be 10 billion or something.
Yeah, 10 million.
There's two understandings of what a koti is. I'm not sure. Yeah, 10 million, right?
Yes, Bhante. 100,000 is just 1 lakh. We call it lakh.
Right, that's correct. So koti is 10 million. Anyway, so it's a number. Chattu panasa. Panasa is 50. Chattu is 4. So we have 54 tens of millions or 540 million. So chattu panasa koti danang means 540 millions of his wealth. Means coins, you know, gold coins. Visajitva, having given up, karite, made. Jetavana Mahavihara is the Mahavihara, the great monastery named Jetavana. Viharati means he dwells. Or he dwelt, past tense. No, present tense. Viharati means he dwells. It's past tense, but they often do this using a present tense verb to mean past tense. So this should be translated to past tense, even though the form here is present tense. So we look at this, we can get a sense. We have Amnatapindakena Mahaseti Na. Those are both 3-1. Seti is conjugated differently from Anatapindika. That's why they look different. But Setina, you should know by now that that's a 3-1 if you've been doing the paradigms. Anatapindakena, you should of course know that that's 3-1 because we remember that Ena is always 3-1. It's the A from the A form masculine. So Anatapindika Mahasetina means by Anatapindika Mahaseti. This isn't where we should start our translation, but by looking at it this way, we can get a sense of how we would do the translation. We should actually start our translation with Viharati and then move backwards. If we do it that way, we'll get a good translation. But it's hard to see that, so I'm just trying to give you a sense. So by Anatapindika Seti, and then you have Chatupanasa Koti Dhanang Visajetva. It's easy to see that those go together because you have Visajetva means having given up, and then you have wealth. So having given up wealth to the amount of 540 millions. So you have having given up, and then you have made. So you have, you can understand karita as being made, something that was made by having given up. Someone made something having given up. Or you could say karite was made by Mahaseti Anatapindika, and then you go Visajitva Chatupanasa Koti Dhanam, having given up all that money. Yeah, numbers are a bit weird in the commentaries, especially the Dhammapada commentary. You got to wonder whether they are exaggerations or not. But you know the story. The story goes that he had to cover the entire Jetavana monastery in gold to buy it. That was the price of the monastery. So if the legend is to be believed, he spent a heck of a lot of gold. If you've ever been to Jetavana, you know how much that would be. It's a big place. Yeah, Jeta wouldn't sell it to him, so Jeta got fed up with Anathapindika always asking to buy it, and so finally he said, fine, if you cover it with gold coins, then I'll sell it to you. And he didn't realize that Anathapindika was actually going to do it. And when he finally did it, he found Jeta said, what about the trees? Because there were many trees, and he didn't cover that area of ground. So Anathapindika got flustered, thinking that he'd either not be able to buy it or else he'd have to cut down all the trees. And Jeta said, fine, I'll... He was so impressed by just the absurd amount of money Anathapindika was willing to spend on the park. He said, I will donate to you. I will include the part with the trees for free. Okay, so... That's a little bit of the background on how this sentence goes together. But if we're experts in Pali, we look at this and we see all that, and then we say, okay, here's how we're going to translate it. We say viharati means he dwelt, and that does refer to the Buddha. So the Buddha dwelt, having gone by stages, having turned the Dhammacakka, and then having gone by stages, he dwelt, the Buddha dwelt, the Satta dwelt. And then we have Jetavana Mahavihare. The A should give it away here. Why is it an A on the ending? Anybody know why?
In Jetavana Vihare.
So why is there an A on the end? What form is that? Vihare has 7-1. Masculine. Vihara. Or maybe it's neuter, I can't remember. Either way, it's the same. So it means in, it's locative, it means in, where was he dwelling? He was dwelling in Jetavana Mahavihara. And Garita is an adjective describing Jetavana. In fact, the rest of the blue is all one adjectival phrase. So it's all a description. It was made by, so Jetavana was made by Anathapindika, the great Seti. It was made by him having given up all that money. That's what this means. It's just a description of Jetavana. And you have to see that. This is the kind of vision that you need, and it takes time to sort of catch these tricks and figure out what's going on in a sentence. There's lots of little twists and turns with Pali. Okay, so he dwelt there. And he dwelt there doing something. This is why I said the rest of this sentence is doing something. What was he doing? Mahajanang sagamageja mukha mageja patitapyamano. Can anyone tell me what those cha are?
And?
Yes, why are there two of them?
Isn't that just the way, I think you told us last week, they just keep saying and, like they don't just say it once, or that's at correct. The beginning and the end of the word?
Only at the end. You say it after each word in the list. So which words are in this list?
Sagamagi and Mokahamagi.
Yes, those two should be understood as A and B. So, Mahajana means, Jana is people or populace. Maha means great. So Mahajana means the general populace, or the great, or you could say a great many people, maybe. Yeah, maybe it's better to say a great many people. Great many people. Saga means heaven. Magga means path. Moka means freedom. Patitapya mana. Mana is the ending, as I said, for present participle. It means ing. So whatever it was, they were doing it. It means, you know, it's a present, it's an ongoing thing. Pati means specifically. Ta is a root that refers to standing or being established. Patitha is a verbal prefix plus root that means established, or, yeah, established in regards to establishing. Patitha paya. It should be pia, I thought. Dapia. I wonder if that's an error. Just a second. No, indeed, that's what the text says. So it's an irregular form, I think, because, anyway, napia, the n disappears, but you have this suffix napia, which is causative. So apiamano means he, because the o on the end, right? The o is makes it masculine. It's a 1-1 masculine, so it's actually a descriptive of satta, right? This relates back to satta, what he was doing. So the satta apiyamana means was causing someone to something. Right? It was causing someone to do whatever is in the verb. Patita means established. So was causing people to be established or to become established. Was causing to become established mahajana. And the object of the sentence is way over there at the beginning of this portion of the sentence. Patitapiyamano, he was causing to be established, causing the Mahajana, the great many people, to become established. And based on what I said earlier about Sagga, Magga, and Mokha, can anyone translate the rest of the sentence to me? Anybody?
I don't know what the mocha is, but...
Mocha means freedom.
Okay, so for the...
A is 7-1. So it wouldn't be four.
I was looking at Maha Jamang, so wouldn't that be two or four, the four two. So the plural for something,
two no, or four that something. That would be Anang, and you would have Jananang. Jana is a word, you can't put Anang as an ending. You have Maha is a prefix, or is the first part of the compound, actually. Jana is the second part, so you wouldn't have Janang. Janang doesn't mean anything. That would be jat with an anang ending. But if you want to put this as a 4-2, it would be jananang. You put the anang after the na. That would be 4-2. That would be plural. But janang is actually 2-1. It's the object of the verb. patithapyamano.
Yeah, that's the toughest part, just figuring out which part is the ending. So I guess just in time, these will look more familiar because, you know, again, I couldn't tell that that wasn't the 4-2 version.
Well, it couldn't be because it's not, first of all, because it's not a long A. That would be janang. But janang, there's no ending janang, anang.
Okay.
Second of all, then you'd if you took that ending off, the word that you were looking at would be mahaja. And there's no word mahaja. You have your maha and jana. So yeah, you do have to know some vocabulary. But I've already, that part actually I'm not so concerned with because I translated it for you. He was establishing the mahajana, or he was causing the mahajana to be established. So patithapyamano means he caused to be established, he was causing to be established, or yeah, was causing to be established the mahajana. Or causing the great many people to become established. It's the rest of the sentence, the sagamagecha mokamagecha, that I'm interested in. And Ryan has translated it. I'd just like to get everyone sort of on the same page.
Sagga means heaven, right?
Sagga means heaven, mokha means freedom.
So some of them became arahats and some of them became sotapan.
No, Sagga doesn't refer to Sotapanna. Mokha could mean Sotapanna anywhere up to Arahat.
Okay, so some of them, but it says established, right, Bhante? So if they are established, they should be at least Sotapanna, right? I mean, if that is bound to happen, definitely.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that. He was just, it doesn't mean established in that sense. I mean, you could literally translate it like that, interpret it like that. But it's just saying he set them on the path to heaven and on the path to mokha, to freedom. But I'm looking at a translation here. Don't worry about the interpretation. Sagga magge is 7-1. Mokha magge is also 7-1. It's on the path to heaven. Sagga magge means the path to heaven. And mokha magga means the path to freedom. So sagga magge cha mokha magge cha means on the path to heaven and on the path to freedom. So he was causing the populace to become established on the path to freedom, to heaven, and the path, and on the path to freedom. On the path to heaven and on the path to freedom. How is that? How's everyone's brains doing?
This is definitely going to make sense in time. I mean, once you say it, it looks, you know, it seems so reasonable because we know that, you know, manga is path. And I think for me, I'm just getting really tied down and just trying to spot the, you know, things that I know and just missing the forest for the trees, I think.
But when I explain it, all I really want is that when I explain it, it makes some sense. Is that happening?
Yes.
Okay, well, that's really all that's important, because I don't expect you to be able to translate. You're nowhere near the level that you need to be to actually translate this for yourselves. That's fine. But you're getting a sense. And the fact that you're doing some of the detective work in your minds and, you know, figuring some stuff out and looking at stuff, that's cool. That's where you should be. You're just open the door to learn how to translate. And it'll come quickly. You'll see, it's exciting. I had a Korean bhikkhuni who I gave this book to in pieces as I was making it. And as we went through the course, she just took it back to her room and tried to figure it out just on her own. It was like detective work for her. And I mean, if I give you this workbook, if you take this workbook and try it for yourself, you can do it. Because you look at the translation, you go back to the Pali, and you look back, refer back to the grammar. It's like that's immersion, and really gives it to you. But the idea is the immersion. That's what I'm hoping to give to you here. So in that case, good. I mean, if you didn't understand what I was saying, and if it was just like, what the heck is he talking about, then we'd be in trouble. I hope that's not the case. Yeah, moksha is Sanskrit. Okay, so let's stop there. Thanks everyone for taking part. And we'll see you all next week.
Sadhu Bhante, thank you.
You're welcome.